Points. More details at srnnews.com.
First Conservative Baptist Church is seeking to help new families that are searching for expository preaching, teaching, and God-honoring music. FCBC is in the Mandarin community at 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, 1 mile south of I-295. Bible study, 9:30. Worship at 10:30. And Wednesday Bible study and fellowship meal at 7 p.m. All are welcome at First Conservative Baptist Church. Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day, with the goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 3 regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is also heard on these 3 stations in Jacksonville, Florida, St. Augustine, Florida, and Brunswick, Georgia. Now there's a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. Your help is needed to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is crucial to take the next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com or to send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258, Attention Radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about a beacon of hope. I don't know about you, but when we see something as we have just witnessed with this major, major, major tectonic shift and what can be for good and for godliness in this election, it can't be anything but providing hope. But I don't want us to misplace our hope. If you voted, if we prayed, if we participated, if we asked God to divinely intervene, and He has, we need to thank Him for it. And recognize, ladies and gentlemen, God's divine intervention. God did intervene. Therefore, we need to recognize, as the Apostle Paul said in 1 Timothy 1:1, the Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope. Listen, we are all thankful that God gave us victory and reprieve in the Trump landslide election. But we must not forget, ladies and gentlemen, that Trump is not our hope. Our hope is the Lord Jesus Christ, nothing more and nothing less. I'm going to read one article briefly, and then I'll take our callers. This article says, the election is over. A new leader has been selected. We must now pray for God's blessing on our nation and get to work. Unifying the country won't be easy. Long days are ahead, but God will bless the nation if we faithfully carry out the work which He has called us to do. And ladies and gentlemen, that's exactly what we need to do. As I said many times before the election, we need to pray, plan, and participate. We need to vote. Today, the votes are over. Today, we have a new hope that is before us, a new beacon of hope in the new president through Donald J. Trump. And I believe God did divinely intervene once again, and He has placed him in a position that he can lead our nation. We'll talk about in just a moment all of the things that we can expect to be changed as a result of President Trump's election. I believe we have Davis on the line. Davis, go with the question or comment, please.
Yeah, Dr. Youngblood, thank you very, very much for taking the call. And I believe whenever Trump is sworn in as our new president for 25 coming up, and in order to honor our Constitution, I think he found that little phrase in there somewhere. He would protect this country from domestic and foreign enemies. And I tell you, that, I believe, is where he found that little phrase. Somebody might have not have seen that in the Constitution.
That's Article 2 in our Constitution. That is the major, major responsibility of the president. Go ahead.
Yeah, and the word hope, I want to give you what I understand a little bit of the numerations. H is the eighth letter in the alphabet, and that stands for new creation, a new man. O is the 15th. That stands for rest. P is love, and E is grace. If you can't put that together and realize that is what our hope is built on, and that's what Trump is trying to pursue to return our nation around to where it's supposed to be.
Well, Davis, I am so thankful that Donald Trump has recognized God's hand in his life. You know, he has said, he said several times on the election trail as he was running around the nation, speaking to people by the hundreds of thousands, he said God saved his life that he might save America.
Amen.
And it is God that will do the saving, but God is using, I believe, the tool, the instrument that has a spine wide enough and a tenacity hard enough and deep enough to do the battle to deliver America from socialism, Marxism, communism, which is on the slippery slope and on the fast track under the previous administration. So I'm thankful that God intervened, and I'm thankful that we can wake up each morning now with a new hope and a new help. And, Davis, the major thing I want our listeners to understand today is because the election is over, our prayer ought not to be over. We need to continue to pray that God will give Trump, number one, safety and protection, number two, that he'd give him divine wisdom and tenacity and strength to carry out what God would have him to do. For example, he said he's going to stop this transgenderism that the Biden-Harris group promoted and pushed and paid for with taxpayer dollars. If that's all he was going to do, it's worth it to see his election. Davis, thank you so much for your call. God bless you as we keep looking up. Have a blessed day. I believe we have John on the line. John, go ahead.
Yes, Dr. Youngblood. Thanks for taking my call. Is the connection good? Because I was using my Bluetooth at first. Okay,
it
good.
It is. Go ahead.
Couple of things I was thinking, actually my wife and I were thinking about this, is staying focused on where we're going rather than what happened or what they did. Obviously, remembering those things so that they won't happen again, but it's just to go forward. And it's something that personally I thought of is that, okay, God spared us. He's using Donald Trump. What can he do for us? What can we do to make a difference so that maybe we need to plug into and go back to our first love rather than being dependent on the world and on people and on politicians and that type of a thing? So kind of renewing my commitment to studying and getting closer to the Lord. And the second thing, if we hadn't gone through what we went through, because God put, for whatever reason, Biden and Harris in office, if we hadn't gone through those things, President Trump wouldn't have the type of cabinet that he's going to have right now, because he gained so much wisdom from the first time around, and plus what they did for the last 4 years, that I think the team that he's going to put together wouldn't have taken place if we hadn't gone through what we've gone through. So I think that it's going to be awesome what God's going to be doing using Donald Trump and the wisdom that he has and the team that he is putting together to make our country great again. So thank you for your ministry.
John, I believe you're exactly right. If you could take just one moment, because Trump has already admitted himself when he was first elected, when he went in office in 2016, when he was elected in 2016, he basically chose people out of the Washington sewer, the deep state Washington leadership. He didn't know better then. He says basically, and I'm paraphrasing, that he knows better now, and he's going to reach out of that and get only those that he has confidence in and trust in. For example, he's not going to use Nikki Haley for anything. He's not going to use Pompeo for anything because of what they had done and retaliating against him and undermining him when he was accused by the left of doing something wrong. So he has learned a lot, and I believe through that learning process, God's given him wisdom that he will be a leader that we as Christians and conservatives can thank the Lord for putting in. Do that, John. There's some that still have the mantra that, well, Donald J. Trump was an immoral man. Donald Trump uses gruff language. Donald Trump, blah, 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 and they go on and on and on. And as I've said so often on this broadcast, when we're running the election, when we're talking about it, we're not wanting to elect Jesus as president. We're electing a man that God can place a steel spine in him to do what is constitutionally right for America. what is honorable in the morals, ethics, and values in our nation. And John, it is my prayer that we will see that come to fruition in the days, weeks, and months before us. But we need not be deceived. We need not sit back in silence. This next 70-plus days will be a very turbulent period of time, in my most humble opinion, because the left, under the leadership of the demonic control and satanic control, the left will do everything possible to prevent it from being a smooth transition with Trump in the Oval Office. So keep praying. Thank you so much. I believe we have Jim on the line. Jim, go with the question or comment, please.
How are you doing this afternoon, Dr. Youngblood?
Doing great. Praying that you are.
Doing well. The last I read, the House is at 213. There's still a few races that are outstanding. Tom Homan was the former ICE director, one of the classics that I recall from him during a congressional hearing, as he was asked by the bartender from Boston how he felt about separating the families, and his response was classic. We can just send all of them together. So I do believe that he'll actually be very well suited for the border czar. I don't know if you read about Chuck Schumer not allowing the Pennsylvania senator elect because of Casey not acknowledging the victory there, even though the AP's already called it. But Democrats are already into their games, and then the Rhino establishment trying to get Thune, or I can't even remember that other guy, elected to the Senate Majority Leader, and that's just Mitch trying to give his last final backstab to Trump as the incoming president. That's another thing that we need to pray about and be aware of.
Absolutely. I believe Rick Scott would be the right leader in the replacing Schumer. Chuck Schumer, and there's three that's supposed to be in the quote running. Number one, I think it is illegitimate. I think it is wrong and unconscionable for the one that is now the head of the Senate to try to replace himself with his choice rather than waiting until the Senate convenes in January and then let them vote as to who they want to lead the Senate. I think it's wrong. I don't know the protocol for that. I'm not totally familiar with it at this juncture, but I think it's wrong to see Mitch McConnell try to think that he can pick and choose and make his choices and enforce that choice on others. I think that it's wrong to do so. But, Jim, a question that I've got for you. When it comes to the lawfare that's taken place, when it comes to what has happened with the case after case after case and suit after suit after suit, pursuing and prosecuting and persecuting Donald J. Trump over the past 9 years, do you think that Trump should be silent about that when he's sworn in? Do you think he needs to just leave it alone as though it never happened? Or do you think there needs to be, those need to be brought to justice that putrefied the law, persecuted Trump, prosecuted Trump, illegitimately so, or should he just say bygones be bygones and forget it, as the Democrats are saying that he ought to? What's your take on that?
Well, he's already done the bygones be bygones route with Hillary Clinton back in 2016, and it came back and just really bit him hard. I believe that he needs to place somebody very competent into the Department of Justice, step back, hands off, and let them perform their job. I think Letitia Jane, or the New York prosecutor there, I don't know if you heard what Trump's lawyer said in regards to her, but basically he told her, Princess, we're going to put you in prison. She said another word, adjective in there. We're going to put you in prison for conspiracy to remove a citizen's rights. And I believe if you've got characters like that, let them loose, let them take care of the business, and then Trump continue on with the nation's business. And that way he doesn't get his hands dirty, but the Democrats are still going to be crying foul. Another thing, too, about the current deportation there's over 1.2 million right now that have already been adjudicated in front of a judge that said that they don't meet the criteria. Those people can be immediately sent to their home origin. Also, anybody who has been arrested And those that are around those, you know, birds of a feather should be taken as well. So that's going to get rid of a pretty large segment there. And then if you enforce the immigration laws and the E-Verify, the rest will take care of itself.
Absolutely. One final question, Jim, before we let you go. I'm talking about having our hope. We have a beacon of hope. But as I'm saying to our listeners today, and I want your take on the thought, I think that we would be amiss as Christians, conservatives, and patriots as we embrace that hope if we place our hope and trust and confidence in Trump, though we need to. But the ultimate hope and trust that we need to place should be in the Lordship of Jesus Christ. What are your thoughts on that?
All glory goes to God and His Son.
Amen.
Amen. And number one.
Amen. Amen. Well, listen, Jim, thank you so much. I'm delighted
Do
have that beacon of hope today. I believe we have Jose on the line. Jose, go over the question to comment, please.
Hey, brother. I just got a comment and a question. I think the Congress is going to be in under control of the Republicans, and how the House of Representatives is coming along. Last time I checked, it was like over 212 or something. And have you heard anything about it?
Well, one of the things with the U.S. House of Representatives, they have control now. They have a majority now. I think it's about 213. But when they keep talking about where they control the House, it takes a supermajority, 218,
yes.
So that if there's a vote, and then that vote does not go as the majority would like for it to, they can override that with what is called a supermajority vote. So to have supermajority vote, we need 218 Republicans in the U.S. House. There's right now, I don't understand it, Jose. There's supposedly about another dozen races out there that have not been resolved, not been settled, and yet here it is now almost a week after the election, and you still have votes taking place in Nevada, votes taking place in Arizona, still counting votes in Pennsylvania, and supposedly they can't get the act together. You know what's happening. Everybody knows what's happening. The world knows what is taking place. The conservatives know what's happening, but the socialist, Marxist, communist, Democrats, and the DNC reject that. They're just trying to make sure the vote is counted. But there's a problem, and my most humble opinion, that problem is they're fabricating votes. They're getting prepared to try to steal those additional votes.
Yeah.
What are your take?
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on that?
I wouldn't doubt it, to be honest at all. And that's why I want the Republicans to have the majority and do changes, radical changes in the voting system. This is crazy. How a week after, they're still counting votes. This is not Venezuela. This is not a third world country. But, you know, the devil is in the little details. And I think what the Democrats are counting on. But I guess Trump mopped the floor so badly with them that they couldn't take the bigger price. Now, brother, I haven't looked into the dictionary. Can you tell me what misogynist is? Because I heard these people talking, and they're blaming the black people. They're misogynists. And the Latinos, we are racist. So what I'm saying to the Republicans, let them talk. The more they talk, the more people, the more votes they're going to lose. They're blaming everybody else. They're calling us racist. Are you kidding me? And the black people, I haven't looked, brother, misogynist. Can you explain to me what that is? Because I haven't looked into misogynist. But I'm like,
supposedly that's where you're anti-woman, anti-female. That is the term they are using in conjunction with losing the race. By the way, Jose, let me just go over a little list. And this is just a partial list of what is happening now with the finger pointing with the DNC and with Tim Walz and with Kamala Harris. Of course, Kamala Harris is now saying that Tim Walz was a bad choice and that Tim Walz made her lose the election. The DNC and all the political Democratic leaders are now saying that Kamala was just not a good candidate. Kamala Harris is blaming her campaign director, saying that he didn't handle the campaign correctly. The campaign director is now saying that he didn't have any specifics from Kamala Harris, that he didn't know what she was going to say or do each day. And Kamala Harris now criticizes the fact that she did not have the right focus. All of those on her campaign team said that she couldn't focus on anything but hating Trump and talking about abortion. And then It was Kamala Harris and Walt's team that, listen, they spent over $1 billion of contributions to try to win the election. She was in the election campaign for 107 days, and 107 days spent $1 billion, went into the hole. They still owe now. They have a negative balance of $20 million, and the last $20 million was spent on trying to push the transgenderism and the misogynist idea and the, how would you say, the lies by way of television and radio in the last few days. So everybody in that campaign, all the Democrats, all the naysayers for Trump, now they're pointing fingers and trying to find out that, in essence, Jose, they're saying, how did we lose this thing so badly? What are your thoughts?
They're so out of touch with the American people, because these people, they think that New York, they think that California, Oregon, they think they represent America. They are way, way out there. They are, and that's why they're blaming everybody. But the beautiful thing, brother, that I mean, that was genius from the Republicans. They inform the Amish. Did you hear about that in Pennsylvania? Over 150,000. But they mobilize them. You know, they don't drive car or anything. And they provide transportation. And they went on the poll, the Amish people. So now the Democrats are calling the Amish anti-woman, they live in a stone age and everything. They mad at the Amish too, because the Amish, they voted in thousands. And I'm like, wait a minute. You guys got the wicked, the vile, and the evil people voting. Why don't we got the religious people like the Amish supporting the Republic? What's wrong with it? And I think that was the turning point. Read about it, brother, about the Amish. How they mobilized the Amish community in Pennsylvania.
Yes.
That was the turning point. That was awesome.
Yes, that was a genius move on the part of the Republican leadership that did that. I was very thankful to see what they had done with that, thankful for the outcome of it. But, Jose, we've got a lot to look forward to. Thank you, and God bless you. Again, ladies and gentlemen, I want us to recognize that we have a beacon of hope, but that hope ought to transcend Donald J. Trump and who he is and what he will do and what he's committed to do. Our ultimate hope must be in nothing less than Jesus Christ and his righteousness. If our hope is placed in man, then ultimately man's going to somehow, some way, either deceive us or let us down. Our hope and trust ought to be in the Lord Jesus Christ. But Donald Trump has said he's going to stop the transgenderism, the butchering of healthy body parts. President Trump has said that he would set up a Department of Religious Affairs for the protection of religious liberties. Now, I've got a mixed emotion on that, but I'll just run that by you. Donald Trump has said he'll set up a Department of Religious Affairs and have someone in that department to make sure that our religious liberties are not traversed, are not trampled on, are not infringed upon in any fashion. So I commend him for that thought. The idea is good. It's going to be, we'll have to wait and see who's placed in that position and whether or not that is one that will look at it from a central biblicist worldview or from a religious dogma standpoint. If it's looked at from a biblical worldview, we could have something good with that. But if it's a religious dogma that's in the leadership role in that position, it can be bad. Trump has already said that he's going to protect the rights of we the people to keep and bear arms. Trump has said the first thing on the agenda is start back finishing the border wall. Trump has said that he's going to seal the border. Trump has committed that he's going to return to their home domicile, places of birth, those that have traversed our laws, those that have broken into our nation, those that are the illegal invaders that have come in by the millions. And by the way, contrary to what the socialist Marxist left might tell you, we have some 20 to 25 million that have traversed those borders that have come in illegally under the Harris-Biden administration. So we need to pray that God will give Donald J. Trump strength, wisdom, understanding that he will be able to do what is right and sending them back into their own nations. That is needful and necessary. Today, ladies and gentlemen, the Lord Jesus Christ has intervened through the power of our prayers, and I'm thankful for that. But I'm amazed, ladies and gentlemen. Listen, it is amazing when you read this headline. Classes canceled at Harvard, Penn State, Columbia over the win of Trump. As a queer immigrant woman of color, I cannot go about my day, this headline says. Let me read you a couple of paragraphs. That telephone number, by the way, is 904-831-0917. 904-831-0917. Got a few minutes left of the broadcast. Still time for your call. Several professors at Ivy League schools canceled classes, excused absences, and allowed exams to be rescheduled because former Donald J. Trump's president decidedly won the 2024 election. The Harvard Crimson, that's the their reporting mechanism, reported that the school's dean told students to let yourself feel a bunch of emotions about how this is going to impact us in the future, and listen to other people and how they feel about it also. If you don't feel up for classes, absence days will be excused. The outlet noted that following Trump's election and his victory, instructors for the courses such as strategic studies for social science, solving optimization, the ancient Greek hero in popular culture and modern China had canceled their Wednesday classes and made attendance optional. Because extended assignments and deadlines were on the horizon. The Washington Free Beacon reported that the Columbia professor granted students permission to even skip classes. Quote, I hope you're hanging in there. I've been thinking of you over the last few days, the Columbia professor reportedly wrote on her to her students. If you don't fill up the classes, absence days will be excused. Meanwhile, because the election results, a professor at Columbia University's sister school, Barnard College, allegedly offered students a chance to replace an exam on which they performed poorly. They could do another exam in recognition of the increased stress that some of you might be feeling because of the election results. It's a five-page article going on and on and on with the meandering of these so-called professors in these prestigious universities of higher education, where they are now allowing students to skip exams, skip days, because of their mourning because of the election of Donald J. Trump. Ladies and gentlemen, I believe that it is sad. In fact, one school has now posted where the students have listed a list of students that they want to kill because of Donald J. Trump's election and because of those students standing for them. That's how erratic, that's how irrational, that's how, if you please, stupid some people are in relationship to witnessing what has taken place. The bottom line is we have a beacon of hope. Let's not squander that hope. Let's place that hope in the right place, and that is the hope in the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Keep on praying. Keep on serving. Keep on honoring the Lord and see what God does with this new transition in America. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us today. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
Been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located 1 mile south of I-295. FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 10, for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You're invited to worship with First Conservative Baptist Church. A reminder, CTU is now enrolling students for next semester. Ask about first semester scholarships. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE.
Christian teaching and talk. This is 91.7, The Truth.
This is Roger with The Truth Radio, and we're sending Bibles.